You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Good morning and welcome to Matt and Air on Air. Jane Matt and Air, Greg Bach, Calvin Butenoff coming to you live from our studio in windy downtown Waukesha. You can always join us. You can call, you can text. It's the same number, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Just a reminder, this Friday night, incumbent state senator, U.S. Senator rather, Tammy Baldwin will speak with Eric Hovde this coming Friday in a debate. Our coverage here in Civic Media starts at 6:50 with our Civic Media news and political teams. The debate starts at 7 o'clock. Afterwards, stay tuned for analysis immediately following the debate. So the debate between incumbent Senator Tammy Baldwin and Republican challenger California guy Eric Hovde this Friday. Our coverage here will start about 6:50. The debate itself starts at 7 p.m. Excited to have our next guest join us with Planned Parenthood Advocates of Wisconsin. Stephen Webb is here. Good morning, Stephen. Thank you for joining us. How are you doing?
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Stephen, tell us about Planned Parenthood Advocates of Wisconsin. What is it that you do?
Okay. Well, good morning, everybody. My name is Stephen Webb, and I am the Executive Director of Planned Parenthood Advocates of Wisconsin, based down here in Milwaukee, but I am everywhere in the state of Wisconsin. My background is through and through organizer. I'm a dad, and just to really see myself as a champion, being an ally to women's rights.
Are you doing much door knocking, Stephen, when you're out and about across the state? I'm wondering what you're hearing from people, particularly women, as we are only 21 days away from the election.
Well, yeah, we're knocking doors. We're all over the state. We're having conversations with people at the doors, meeting them where they are. We know that women's rights and even more so abortion is a central issue in this election. And we know that women under 30 are most definitely engaged as they see these rights at stake and want to reassure that our freedoms are protected and even more so extended.
Well, one of the things, Stephen, we talk about too is, you know, we have a weekly segment with OBGYN, and one of the things we do discuss is the fact that the decision, the Dobbs decision, affects all of us as well too. And are you having conversations with men out there and explaining to them like this is not solely an issue for women, but one that affects everyone who is in this country?
Yeah, most definitely. That's one of the things, you know, as a man working in this movement, is being a representation of a man being able to say, men do have a spot at the table when it comes to women's rights, when it comes to equality, and more so showing up and being visible to be an agent of progressing that agenda.
Stephen Webb II is our guest. He is with Planned Parenthood Advocates of Wisconsin. 21 days to go before the election. Stephen, I guess one of the things that is most disturbing about this is the amount of misinformation and disinformation and about miscarriage treatments and abortion care and DNCs. And I know that I have seen some Republicans say that women aren't going to, this isn't a big thing. It's all fine. As Donald Trump has said, it's back to the states now and it's a beautiful thing. We've seen a whole bunch of candidates scrub their websites from their previous positions, essentially in favor of a total national abortion ban. But yet, I think women aren't trusting that message. I think women actually know what's at stake, and men do too, but I'm delighted to hear that more and more men are realizing that it's important that you guys weigh in on this too.
Most definitely. A lot of times what I tell people is being a man in this movement, you have to realize that I have a mom, right? I have a sister. I have women in my life that I care about. And who am I as a man to sit by and let people that are not trusted, people that spread misinformation, be able to make decisions for the women in my life? And so that's why it is very, very most important for us as men to stand up and to exercise our due diligence with actionable things as far as like volunteering and voting and keeping our electeds accountable to doing the things that uplift our values and uplift the freedoms that we hold dear to us.
Well, I guess I don't understand why we want to place this decision making among lawmakers who in many instances don't even seem to understand basic female biology. We have one Wisconsin lawmaker who says that he's a veterinarian and therefore he knows all about how mammals reproduce and therefore he is the expert. We had one lawmaker who is not from Wisconsin, but who wanted to know why a woman couldn't just swallow a small camera to find out if she's pregnant. That's because your stomach and your uterus aren't connected. Hello.
Well, you know, the thing is, like, you know, this is just more about, this is more than about abortion care. You know, they want to eliminate, you know, take away access to birth control. They want to end IVF. You know, they want to criminalize doctors for providing the care and also for patients for receiving it. That's why this election is the stakes are higher than ever. This election is going to decide, you know, who are the people, you know, up and down the ticket, you know, that are going to be reflective of our values, right? To be able to go and make sure that that our personal decisions are heard and that, you know, we pick people that that we trust.
And who have an understanding, I don't know, of basic biology. That would be, I don't expect them to be experts, but I also don't expect them to be making my medical decisions for me.
Exactly.
You know, we had, who is the podcaster, Calvin, who does Call Me Daddy?
Alex Cooper.
I saw a TikTok with Alex Cooper, and she was at an anti-abortion rally protest. And she asked this gentleman who believes in a complete and total abortion ban. And she said, well, what if the government mandated that young men, say at the age of 14, are required to get a vasectomy? And then once they are finally financially set enough to afford a child, they can have it reversed. He was mortified by that. You mean the government would mandate what men can do with their bodies? What are you talking about? Well, that's what we're talking about in this instance with women.
Yeah, most definitely. I think that's like one of like the first questions, you know, when I, you know, interact men, you know, you hear the piling of all the restrictions and barriers that women have when it comes to their reproductive health and rights. And then you ask a man, well, can you share with me any barriers for reproductive rights for men that are equivalent? And usually is, you know,
no
words. Yeah.
Yeah. Because there are none.
No, there are none.
They would never dare do that.
Good heavens. Can you imagine what would happen if we withdrew Viagra? Which does not, at least as far as I know, maybe I'm wrong. We're going to have Dr. Hanks on tomorrow. I can ask her about this. Birth control actually has uses beyond just preventing pregnancy.
Oh, yes.
Birth control is also for women who have very, very painful cramps and who have very irregular periods. From as far as I know, Viagra has one purpose. That's it. There are no other medical reasons for Viagra except for one thing.
Stephen, you brought up abortion access, but also contraception as well as IVF. One of the things we saw happening over the past 2 years is kind of a coalition of minds as far as, like, you know, you have people who strongly believe in access to contraception, IVF, as well as abortion. But once Dobbs came out and everything is sort of questionable with regard to after abortion care, as far as, you know, contraception and IVF, you see a lot of, and a lot of women who may have voted one way saying, no, this is more important for us than a party affiliate. And you saw it. And I always think about the fact that Kansas voted down an abortion ban. When Kansas says no, I feel like that means that the messaging, that means that we're seeing once again that a part of the population wants access to this healthcare. Is that what you're hearing when you talk to people, as far as like, you know, I used to vote this way, but I saw Dobbs and now I can't anymore because I believe in these freedoms?
Yeah. Yeah, most definitely. So I would say, you know, first of all, you know, we needed more than Roe, right? Roe was just like the floor. We needed more than Roe. But once Roe was overturned, it really mobilized our communities, right? It really mobilized them to go out and to take actions, which helped lead to the restoring of abortion here in Wisconsin, like last fall. So yeah, it is most definitely a thing where, you know, folks just was really, really engaged and really wanted to exhibit their power in this election. And said, we're not going back. You know, we deserve more than this.
Mm-hmm. Stephen Webb II is our guest. He's with Planned Parenthood Advocates of Wisconsin. In the time we have left, Stephen, we got about 2 minutes. How can other men who are listening get involved? What can they do? How can they put their feelings into action?
Yeah. So, first, I would say the first thing men can do is start actively listening to the women in their lives. So I'll start there. Another way that men can get involved is become a volunteer. They can go and visit PPAWI and find an event in their neighborhoods, in their local communities. We have organizers that are working and connecting folks with opportunities. Remember to go vote November 5th. And remember that tomorrow's the last day to register online, and November 5th is election day. Thank you.
Stephen Webb from Planned Parenthood Advocates of Wisconsin will put a link into our show notes so folks can find you. Thank you so very much for joining us. Stay with us. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air, coming to you across the Civic Media Radio Network. Good morning. Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Dr. Slide on the board, coming to you from our studio in windy downtown Waukesha, Wisconsin. You can always join us. You can call, you can text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. If you're watching in the live stream, leave a comment there too on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform that Jabba the Musk hates that we continue to call Twitter. We were talking to Stephen Webb from Planned Parenthood Advocates of Wisconsin, and what he's hearing, knocking on doors and hearing from folks as we're just 21 days away from the election. This continues, at least for many women, to be a large election issue, as much as some might want it to go away. I don't know, girls, they thought we were just going to forget about it. You know, we're thinking about, I don't know,
handbags.
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 Handbags. Mark from Prairie du Sac, thank you for your patience. Mark, what did you want to say?
Yeah, I heard again this morning that J.D. Vance had proposed that women be given pregnancy tests before they could leave a state.
Great.
And have to. So, what are they going to. For all the highways across various states, I mean, that. I grew up in far northern Wisconsin, where Minnesota was just a hop skip across the one of the various bridges to get to, you know, from Wisconsin into Minnesota. You know, that it reminds me that back in the antebellum South, that slaves were required to have a pass, you know, that gave them permission to travel.
Show us your papers.
show us your papers. And so now what are they going to do? They're going to require women to take a pee test before they can cross into another state? I mean, it is just, it's just beyond comprehension that they're able to, because I can see them doing it. I can easily see that being woven into Project 2025, and that women of childbearing age, which includes girls as young as, you know, 11 years old,
sure.
I mean, that, well, you have to, and we have to see you pee on this stick, because otherwise you might have somebody else do it for you, so we're making sure you're not pregnant leaving the state, and that it is just...
It's dystopian. It's dystopian, Mark. It feels like this cannot possibly be real, but it is. This is real. And if you're not familiar with Project 2025, you can find it online. Google it. It is 900 pages long. But in Project 2025, the blueprint for the next Republican administration, no matter what Trump says, they eliminate the Department of Health and Human Services and rename it the Department of Life.
I don't know why you and Mark are getting so upset about this stuff. It's clear that this is all hyperbole, and he's just the stuff he says is going to happen.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
The New York Times just did an interview with people who were at his economic conference in Detroit, where he did everything but talk about the economy, and essentially blew off all the things. Oh, he doesn't mean that.
Yeah.
Oh, he doesn't. That's not what he really means. Let me explain to you what he means. We shouldn't need an interpreter for a potential president of the United States.
We don't need a Trump whisperer.
No, we don't.
I don't want one. I don't want one nor need one. But yeah, it'll be the little things. It's not going to be January the 21st. Everything changes. It's going to be January 21st. It'll be one thing. Remember, for the first day in office, he said he'd be a dictator.
Well, right. And then he can issue a whole bunch of executive orders.
Oh, and a whole bunch of pardons, too?
Yes, that, too. All the hostages.
Traitors.
The January 6th hostages.
Jane, you mispronounced the word traitors.
You know who actually came out and said that last night when you played the clip before we went on the air? I almost fell out of my chair.
Right.
Karl Rove.
Yeah.
Karl Rove has announced that he is voting for the Harris-Walz ticket.
Did he say he's voting for them? I just heard him talking about how much he didn't like Trump. I didn't hear him say the words.
Let me double check. I'm pretty certain that Ham Rove, which is what Stephen Colbert used to call him, is going to vote for Kamala Harris.
Hot ham on Roves. Yeah, I don't understand. I've been asking the question for a while, and no one seems to be able to answer it. Why they think Donald Trump is a good choice for president. There is no economic policies. Anything he puts out there economically, economists, and not liberal Marxist socialist economists in caravans.
Actual economists.
Economists say that if his economic plans, which is basically just tariff anything.
And he doesn't even have a specific number.
No.
The other day he said 100%, 200%, 500%. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah. They've said if he does that, we're going into a recession.
Yes.
And if you want examples of how good the economy is doing, and by the way,
the sky is falling.
I'm wrong right now. Tell me how I am wrong by saying the economy isn't great. Tell me the job numbers that I'm misreading, the stock numbers. Hey, Trump's numbers are even going up. His stock is at 30
Truth
bucks.
Truth Social is up.
The economy sucks, but my stock is going great. No, the stocks are up. The jobs are up. The
unemployment is down.
Unemployment is
inflation
down.
Inflation is down.
Job creation is up. And we're paying down the deficit.
Things are terrible.
Tell me how the economy sucks so much.
And I just want to clarify about Viagra. I said before, apparently erroneously, that Viagra only has one function. Aaron texting in, listening in Madison, Viagra does have a medical use for a rare heart condition. Fair enough. Calvin also said Viagra is occasionally prescribed to increase exercise capacity for people with high blood pressure, but it's sold under a different name. So I stand corrected.
I'm going to ask a question. I'm being totally serious right now. I just want to ask a question about Viagra. No, asking for a friend. If you are a man and you legit have to take whatever Viagra is called for increased exercise capacity, do they sell you another drug to combat its mainstay effect? So you can at least, so at least for the next 4 hours, you can exercise.
I didn't know you could do curls with that.
That's comedy. That was, what was that? An improvised, what was that? Improvised change?
It was an improvisational departure.
There it is.
Improvisational
right there.
Departure.
Boom. We just made naughty jokes without being naughty.
News is coming up very, very shortly when we return the great trick or treat debate. And then we're going to wrap it up with this shouldn't be a thing fashion edition. Stay with us. You're listening to Matt Nair on air, coming to you across the vast and global Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Good evening. I was walking in the lab late one night when my eyes beheld an eerie sight.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach. Resident young person Calvin on the board, coming to you from our studio in downtown Waukesha. You can join us, call or text, same number, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Just a reminder, tomorrow is the deadline to register to vote in Wisconsin online or by mail. Make a plan to check. Go to myvote.wi.gov, myvote.wi.gov to make sure you're registered. You can take a look at your ballot. You can register to vote in Wisconsin online or by mail, but that deadline is tomorrow. So if you want to do that, make sure you get it done. You can still register to vote the day of.
Mm-hmm.
It's probably going to be very busy. You
yes.
might be waiting for a long time.
Yes.
So that's why we would encourage you to register ahead of time.
I have a really quick question. Well, first of all, something I saw some cool news with regard to early voting.
Oh.
Today, former President Jimmy Carter can vote.
That's wonderful.
Yes. He was hoping that he just celebrated 100 years. He was hoping they'd be able to cast a ballot. So today in Georgia, he can cast a ballot. Hopefully the shenanigans will allow him to do that. But still, that's a very wonderful to think about.
That is a wonderful thing to think about. Jimmy Carter, nobody else like him.
No.
All right, we're going to lighten things up a little bit for the last half hour of the show. Of course, this shouldn't be a thing. Fashion edition
mm-hmm.
coming up at 11:51. But right now, we were talking about this before we got on the air. And I thought, this seems controversial and heated.
Well,
we need to bring it forth.
I feel like there are many layers to this, what we're about to talk about. And that discussion is about Halloween.
Trick-or-treating.
Trick-or-treating.
Trick-or-treating on Halloween.
Mm-hmm.
When should it happen? Should it happen on Halloween? That's the way we did it when I was a kid. Granted, that's a long time ago.
They had just invented Halloween like a year before.
We just got wheels.
Yeah.
But we used to trick-or-treat on Halloween. We would go out after dinner when it was dark and go trick-or-treating for a couple of hours, and then you go home.
Yeah, and when I was growing up, and when I worked in Racine, and for the first year I lived in Kenosha, it was whatever the Saturday or Sunday closest to Halloween was. Carve out whether it's 4 to 7, which I disagree with. I think trick-or-treating should be at night when it's, you know, safe with an adult, but 4 to 7 or, you know, 5 to 8. But it's convenient for the parents, it's convenient for the kids. But now I live in Kenosha, and once again, we're doing trick-or-treating on Halloween from 4. You're looking at me like, yeah, duh.
What's the problem from having trick-or-treating from 4 to 7?
Because if you are a parent and you work until 5, you're not getting home till 5:30. And then your kid gets maybe an hour of trick or treating,
which is plenty.
Well, you want to spend some time with. I'm advocating on behalf of the. You're just like, eh. By the way, there's a bigger discussion to be made about this. It's not just the trick or treating folks, which, by the way, we want to know about your thoughts on trick or treating.
When should they be trick or treating? Yeah. On the day of, on the 31st? Should it be the Sunday or Saturday before? Should it be up to the municipality? Because that's kind of the way it is right now.
That's what they do in Kenosha.
Every municipality decides when they're going to have it. We even have certain neighborhoods around us that do certain special nights.
Yeah.
When do you believe trick-or-treating should happen? 855-752-4842.
Or, I'm going to take it bigger, because you busted out this response to me when I was talking. Because I'm like, I don't have children, but I think it should be convenient for the children and the parents. You know, if you don't want to participate, you don't have to participate in the trick-or-treating or the giving out of candy. But it's a parent-child generally activity.
Yeah.
Let's make it easier for them. You just blurted out, well, Halloween's stupid anyways. Jane Mettenair hates Halloween.
Well, we could do a whole thing on traditions and why I think they're bad. That's for another time. Calvin, how do you feel about trick-or-treating? When should children be trick-or-treating? The day of or the weekend before?
Yeah, well, when I was growing up, we had two trick-or-treats.
What?
Yeah, our whole like town, which is a small town, but the whole town did one. It was usually the Sunday closest to Halloween. But then that was like a noon to four, I think was like the time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then my subdivision, which is like, I don't know, 10, 12 blocks, thought that was dumb, trick-or-treating during the day. So we would do the Thursday night before Halloween. So whatever that was. Sometimes it actually was Halloween, but the Thursday night before Halloween. And that would be like, I don't know, 5 to 8:30 or something like that. And I kind of agree with Greg. Trick-or-treating needs to be at night.
It does need to be at night. But I like that. I like the idea of having a municipality putting it together, but they should get it right, Kenosha. But also having like a neighborhood thing where it could be like, you know, maybe it's more of a party less than like just straight trick-or-treat. I mean, before I moved out of Milwaukee, my neighborhood, people were partying. Parents were carrying claws.
Yeah, that happens in my neighborhood too. Yeah. Good heavens, we have people who have bonfires in the front yard and really make it a thing. A texter on WAUK, day of Halloween, enough stuff splits the family already. Steve from Milwaukee, on Saturday evening, not on Halloween. And Steve from Milwaukee, nerds and Skittles are what you should be giving away.
Disagree. No? Disagree with that, yeah.
Oh,
First of all, whoever texted listening that said day of Halloween, you're wrong. Steve from Milwaukee, great answer. Love it. Love that answer. I'm with you. Nerds and Skittles, they're fine, but I'm a chocolate kind of gal. I like the chocolatey stuff. I want a Snickers. I want a, you know, a Twix.
Do you give out full sized Snickers?
No, I do not.
The little minis?
Yeah, just some fun sizes. Now the funds, but see, because the economy is so bad, it's not even fun sizes anymore. They used to be the size of like two digits on your fingers. Now it's just like a pellet of chocolate. I mean, this is the kind of America you want from Joe Biden? Stop.
Calvin.
I really pretty much like everything. I like a mix. For giving it out, we usually get an assorted bag of chocolate, like Snickers, Twix. Mm-hmm. Kit Kat, that type of thing. But if I was trick-or-treating myself, I would want a variety of all different things.
Some sweet tarts.
Yeah.
A little chocolate. A few nerds. A few Skittles. Throw a Twix in there. You want to have a varied candy diet.
Correct.
If you're going to be going out for trick-or-treating.
If you're
going to
be throwing up later. No, I mean, I won't throw away a Skittles or a nerds, but that's down on the hierarchy. I don't know how you would like a chocolatey sweet is what I prefer versus candy sweet. If that makes
the real sugary sweet.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. That's what I'm saying. I mean, can I tell you a story?
Do I have a choice?
None whatsoever. The first year we moved into the house in 2022, actually, I want to say in 22, because now we can do that. We moved in and we were brand new and we came in just before Halloween. We were settled in September. And I thought, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to get donuts for the adults. I'm going to get candy for the kids. And I'm going to make some totally
non-alcoholic
apple cider.
Nice.
And I did. I like made a homemade recipe and it was, I put time and energy in this and I opened up the garage. I put the apple cider out. I put the donuts out. I put the candy out. And then I realized in that fell swoop, my neighborhood is not a trick or treating neighborhood. Basically, I think I had like maybe in 3 hours, I had maybe 12 kids.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a lot of cider.
And then adults kept on asking, oh, is there booze? I'm like, I didn't want to be the brand new guy handing you, you know, hard apple cider.
Let's
being like,
shots.
You guys want to party? You guys want to get in the tall grass on this one? So I want to do it again, but manage my expectations. But I'm not going to do it. I can't do it on Halloween because I won't be home. So that's another bummer is like, I would have more fun and I would even put things and be like, hey, tell your friends, come on over.
You should lobby Kenosha. You should start a petition in Kenosha to change the trick-or-treating day and the hours so it's more accommodating.
You know what, Jane? You really push me towards the light of democracy. And
that's what I'm here
you
for.
You make me believe. You make me understand we have a better future in Kenosha, Wisconsin, and America.
When should trick-or-treating be held? 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. And from Chippewa Falls, listening here on WAUK, 5 to 7 p.m. After 8 o'clock is too late. The kids need to be home. It's plenty dark out from 5 to 7, and dark chocolate is the best.
Yeah, but you're not going to get a lot of dark chocolate. Like you may get like a Milky Way dark.
I don't think kids like dark chocolate.
No, they think it's
I
too
love
bitter.
Dark chocolate.
I love dark chocolate.
Listener on in Madison on WMDX, Skittles are terrible for your teeth. Choose chocolate.
Are you talking about I think they're talking about the consistency.
The sticky factor?
Yeah. And then Steve from Milwaukee says, we're talking about for the kids. Otherwise, for chocolate, Snickers, Kit Kats, Baby Ruth all the way.
Oh. You know, the other one I really love, too, that's a kind of a throwback, is the Mr. Good Bars.
Oh, my.
With the peanuts.
You mean, like, that will destroy your face. Mr. Good Bars. Aren't those? Oh, wait, no.
No, the little chocolate with the peanuts. In the yellow. It's a yellow.
I thought
the wrapper is yellow.
I thought it was. I'm thinking of the one that, like, it's, like, basically a hard piece of.
Oh, a taffy?
Almost. I thought that was the Mr. Good Bar where you're just like, you're going to bust a tooth.
I don't think so.
Yeah. I don't like those at all. I throw those directly out. I'm not going to eat them.
Fair enough.
Yeah. Also, I don't trick or treat, so.
855-752-4842. Trick or treating rules. When should kids go trick or treating? What are the best treats to have? And again, from Chippewa Falls, Butterfingers.
Oh,
that's another throwback. That was a pretty good candy bar.
That one is perfect in Halloween size. I can't at my age now. No, I can't do a whole Butterfinger, but you do a small little Butterfinger. You pop it in there. Oh, Mother Glory. Okay. Someone said that we might not be able to trick or treat at night because of Lisa French. I guess
I don't know what that means.
There was a horrible crime that happened to a tiny child, and that was the thing is when I was growing up, we trick or treated.
Did you scan candy?
Did I scan candy? Oh,
did you X-ray the? Did you go through the area of X-raying your candy?
We didn't X-ray candy because I don't live near an airport. But what we did was if it was in a baggie, out. Apples gone. Had to be sealed
right,
up.
Right.
But
right.
That was all a myth. That never happened. But what I'm reading, like looking at this thing here, there was a horrible thing that happened to a child during trick-or-treating.
Yes.
And that might be why we trick-or-treat during the day.
Excellent point. That's an excellent point. Again, it is still kind of up to the municipality when you trick-or-treat, daytime, nighttime, Sunday before, day of, all the hot topics.
Oh, nothing but the hottest news here. PJ listening says, I'm in Neenah. Last year, one trick-or-treater showed up. I ended up eating an entire 98-piece bag of mini Hershey bars.
Oh, baby.
Oh, I hope you napped afterwards.
The last time I dressed up as a witch.
Yeah.
went all out, did the things.
Yeah, see?
One kid.
That's what I'm talking
and
about.
I ate Snickers for a month.
I think I took the bags to work and said, you all eat this because I can't.
I can't eat anymore.
Are you going to do the candy this year or do you guys?
I'm not. We don't get any kids.
There are no kids. That's so interesting.
Yeah.
Do you think it's a passing thing?
Maybe it's just our neighborhood.
Okay.
All right. When we return, this shouldn't be a thing. Fashion edition. Stay with us. You're listening to Matt Nair on air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Tell them all they said.
Then you can monster mash. And not a great God smash. You'll catch on in a flash. Yeah, you can monster mash.
Ow!
The monster mash.
Monster mash.
Monster mash.
Welcome back to Matt Nair on air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Calviente on the board, coming to you from our studio in downtown Waukesha. Join us, call or text. It is the same number, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment on the live stream. If you're watching on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter, just a reminder, tomorrow is the deadline to register to vote in Wisconsin. If you want to vote online or by mail, make sure you check your voter registration status. Be a voter. Everybody who's anybody is a voter.
Oh, wow, wow.
I know, I'm trying to be alluring.
Stop it.
I don't know that that's working. Go to myvote.wi.gov. Myvote.wi.gov. Make sure you are registered. You can get a look at your ballot. There is going to be a constitutional amendment on the ballot. They want to change one word.
One word.
One word from every U.S. citizen to only U.S. citizens. In my estimation, this just opens the doorway for them to narrow the definition of who the only U.S. citizens will be.
I feel like if they wanted to add a bunch of words, it's one thing, but the fact
it should make everyone sit up and go, why?
It should give you pause that they just want to change one singular word.
And we are not hearing the same kind of support coming from Robin Voss, WILL, the Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty, about how great this is, why everyone should vote for it. I will be voting no. Yeah. I will be voting no.
I also will be voting yeah.
11:53, that means it is time for...
This shouldn't be a thing.
If you ever have a thing that should not be, send it in to Greg and me at Jane Says, JaneSays, Jane Says at civicmedia.us. It can be anything. It can be from the world of politics. It can be from nature. Today, it is from the world of fashion. According to Reuters, U.S. consumers, three women from California, are suing French luxury house Hermès.
Because how you pronounce it?
Hermes.
All right.
It's very snooty.
I thought it was Hermes.
No, it's Hermes. Hermes. They claim that in order to buy a Birkin bag, which is a very, very famous handbag made by this company that can run into the hundreds of thousands of dollars, they claim that in order for them to be able to buy one of those overpriced handbags, the company is forcing them to spend thousands of dollars on other stuff before they're worthy of a Birkin bag.
So it's like a gauntlet of purchasing. You have to...
A gauntlet of buying expensive stuff. The lawsuit claims that Hermes only gives customers with sufficient purchase history a chance to buy a Birkin bag, which they're handmade. They can cost, like I said, hundreds of thousands of dollars. If you just do a Google search, they're everywhere from $25,000 to $300,000. That is the first thing that should not be. That a handbag will sell for $300,000. The other part of this that should not be is that these three women are suing because they don't want to have to buy the expensive stuff to buy the really expensive stuff. That's absurd.
So, like, I can spend $25,000 on a handbag, but I won't spend $25,000. I don't even know what else you have to buy. Do you buy shoes?
Do you? They make scarves. Remember, Dr. Bricks, whatever her name was, when Donald Trump said that we had to shine lights into her body, the one who was melting into the floor, she wore Hermes scarves.
Nothing's,
they're also very, very expensive.
Nothing says of the American people like a
$5,000 neck scarf. Calvin, any thoughts on this?
Well, I mean,
these Calvin people, loves it. He wants one.
Well, these people clearly aren't in the demographic. I am unfortunately pretty aware of Birkin bags because of their hold on the rap industry. A lot of rappers rap about Birkin bags, and I think
they sing about handbags.
Well, they talk about like buying their girls Birkin bags, about having Birkin bags, because I mean it's a flex, so
it's a brag.
Yeah, it's literally just about the name and how much it costs. So if you're not in the position to, like, why do you need it?
Well, that's the first part. First of all, like, I shouldn't be able to pay off my house with what you paid for a handbag.
Right.
Okay. There's point number one. And I also want to know what this process is. It like a Subway frequent flyer punch card? Like
You have to buy up to $10,000 worth of stuff before you can shell out $25,000 on a purse.
And also we live in that culture where if you are rich enough to do that, that's exactly what people love. They love being exclusive. They love being a part of something that other people aren't. So the fact that there are individuals suing Hermes for this, please.
Yeah, that's why that was today's edition of
This Shouldn't Be a Thing.
Gavin, you had one more comment about that?
Yeah, well, I mean, it's this isn't a new thing. Like, car companies do this. I think you have to, like, buy so many Porsches before Porsche allows you to buy their, like, certain sports car and stuff. So I don't think this, yeah, I don't think they're gonna, this lawsuit's gonna get thrown out.
That shouldn't be a thing either.
This is
that just should not be a thing.
This is not a monopoly. That was their, or it was antitrust.
Oh, antitrust.
Yeah.
It's a purse. Please. News is coming up next, followed by Todd Alva. Thank you, Greg and Calvin, and all of our engineers and everyone across Civic Media. Without you, nothing works. Thank you most of all for calling and texting and for listening. It means the world. I hope you find some joy today and you have the chance to share it. Stay here on the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll see you tomorrow.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.